Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Yvette Archie, along with Alfonso Scott and Robert Thomas. Hey, guys, it's been a minute since we've all been together, right?
Oh, yeah. What's going on? How y'all doing?
It's been a minute.
We're good. Yeah, it's been a long minute, huh?
More like a couple of hours. Not a minute, but yeah. A couple of hours.
Yeah, it's been a long time since all three of us got on the air together. Over 2 years.
Wow. That's gone by fast. Mm-hmm. By fast.
But today is the day. Robert, I am extremely glad to have you back on the show today. As you know, your knowledge, your wisdom, I respect, especially when you tell things like it is without fear of any repercussions or retaliation for telling the people the truth and, you know, separating the truth from the lies. So we are glad to have you back on the show. I know you have your own show going on now, right?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I'm a firm believer that you have to give credit where credit is due. And then I also like to start off by saying there's no place like home. And this is like home for me. The Creator has blessed me, in a sense, to come back home where it all started. And, again, giving credit where credit is due, I wouldn't be able to do what I do now without you, Alfonso, because the Creator blessed you to touch something inside of me, to inspire me to do what it is that I do. So I have to give God all the glory and give you the majority of the credit for blessing me to do what I do with the real news behind the news. If, be honest, if it wasn't for Alfonso Scott, it wouldn't be a real news behind the news. So I have to give credit there first. And I have to be a man and admit that a lot of the reason why it's been 2 years is because of my immaturity, arrogance, and, you know what I'm saying, just grandiosity. And I humble myself, you know, today and say that, you know, it was my fault for this hiatus. But I'm, again, glad to be back home because so right now, you know what I'm saying, messing with you, my brother, this is just like being home, man.
Aww.
Man, I appreciate it.
Aww.
Okay, then. Don't get me all teary-eyed up here and all that foolishness.
Aww.
But I'm glad to have you back. It does me good. I'm excited that you're on the show with us today. So, and I just I thank you as well, brother. And again, you are to be respected for the things that you do. I know you've been out there in the public dealing with a lot of issues here in Shreveport, Louisiana. Incidentally, one of our stories today keeps us in Shreveport, Louisiana, right?
Uh huh.
So, at first, we had, I think it was New Orleans, Louisiana, and then Chicago took the lead in killings. Well, In 2017, it looks like Shreveport, Louisiana is trying to rise above that.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to pick up a newspaper, turn on your local news station, or listen to your radio without hearing another man was killed in Shreveport last night. And within the past 24 hours in Shreveport, we have had two shootings and two deaths. Two shootings and two deaths. And we know that the police department here in Shreveport is shorthanded, so they need some more men and women. But the public is still saying that probably even with more men and women on the force, that nothing will change because many just don't believe that the police department is doing enough to deal with the shootings and the killings in Shreveport. So, Robert, I'm going to start with you and ask you to elaborate on what's going on in Shreveport and what you think the police department are doing or not doing or should be doing or shouldn't be doing.
Well, first of all, I got to say this, and just be real. I don't know what kind of flack I'm going to receive for saying it, but I'm going to just keep it real. Let's not ask what the police department can do about this. Let's ask what you can do for your own neighborhood. You know, until we as black people take control and patrol our own neighborhoods, you know, we really can't expect nothing, I mean, to happen. Because really what the situation is, you know, everybody wants the police to patrol their neighborhood, but at the same time, everybody running right here talking about hands up, don't shoot, about the, you know, in reference to the police. But at the same time, let's just go back to the situation of, I think it was 2 years ago, with Grover Cannon, who shot the police, this police officer. Now, there's a lot more to that story that they're not telling us. But the truth of the matter is, you had a lot of people getting on social media talking about, well, why the police can't find him, why the police ain't trying to find him. First of all, you're the ones who hiding this killer out in your neighborhood. The dude had just shot a black man in almost in the same neighborhood, and he was still hiding out in that neighborhood, but because of the quote-unquote no-snitching policy that we as black folks are so caught up in, trying to be gangster or whatever it is, nobody wanted to tell on this murderer that was in your own neighborhood. So you hiding a killer out in your neighborhood, but you expect the police to come and find him when you're hiding. So, again, you have to start as black people controlling and patrolling your own neighborhood. You don't see the violence in these Arab communities, people who just coming over here like the Arabs, the Asians, because these people have a code where they do not accept certain things in their neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? We wonder why our neighborhoods are poor and, you know, so poverty-stricken. Who's going to want to put a business in your neighborhood that looks like something from over in Iraq? So until you as a group of people come together and tell little Mojo, look, you got to go. You're creating all this violence, all this chaos in our neighborhoods. We're coming together as a neighborhood telling you, you got to go. Now, you can do this the easy way, or we can make this hard. But either way it goes, you got to go. And then we sit around as black people. We quick to say, stop the violence, stop the violence. But how many people you hear say, stop all the dope dealing? Stop all the jacking people, hardworking people for their stuff. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that leads to the killing. So we don't want to really address the real issues. We'd rather sit back and blame it on the white man, blame it on all these other factors, when in reality we need to start being accountable, taking control of our own neighborhood and owning up to the fact that if little Johnny went out there trying to jack this dude out of his car, he would have never got shot. You know what I'm saying? If this dude here wasn't selling dope in the neighborhood, you wouldn't have had that shootout because of a turf war. So at what point do we as black people take responsibility for controlling our own neighborhood and the destiny of our neighborhood?
I totally have to agree with you, but I'm going to let Yvette comment, and then I'll come behind her.
What is there to say? But it does. It begins at home. It's just like, I mean, totally different situation, but it's the same thing in the school system. Kids act up. Kids do this, and they want to blame the teachers. They want to blame the parents. No, it starts at home. It starts at home, bottom line. You raise your children the way that you know, or you know, you would want them to be taken care of when they go to school. You know, you don't want anybody saying to your, you know, anything to your children, or, you know, approach your children, then teach your children not to set things off. Don't do that. But it does. It starts at home. It starts in your neighborhood. You don't want crime coming to your neighborhood? Well, you get it to where your neighbors and people that come into your neighborhood know that and respect that. And in most cases, it won't happen.
Mm-hmm. You all remember when we was kids, it was always that one or two old people that were sitting on the porch that when the kids was out there doing something wrong, those old people either scolded you, and in a lot of cases, they whooped your behind.
Uh-huh.
Then they told your parents when you came home,
you got
another scolding and probably another butt whooping then. But nowadays, if you go to somebody and tell somebody that their kid is doing something wrong, you're going to have to probably knock that person out, or you're going to get knocked out because people, you know what I'm saying, they don't want you telling them about these horrible kids. And I'm going to just be real. Some of the things that these teachers saying, these teachers got a right to be afraid, because you're dealing with a generation of youngsters that really, I mean, I'm for lack of a better word, these youngsters are monsters. I mean, being someone who's been in the prison system, I see these youngsters coming in, and they don't have no heart almost. But let me stop real quick and give y'all some statistics of what's really going on in Shreveport. Now, keep in mind, Shreveport is a city that's, let's say, about 160 to 180,000 people. Now, if you look at last year, we had 40 murders in a city of 100,000, just say 150,000 people. Mm-hmm. Whereas in cities like New York that has almost 100 times our population, they maybe had about 700 murders. We're just going to say that. So guess what? If you multiply the population of Shreveport by 10 times, don't you know we will lead the nation as far as murders? Mm-hmm. We are wanted per capita. We are wanted in the top 10. A city that's the 180th largest city in America, we rank in the top 10 per capita as far as murder and violence. Now, these statistics that I want to give out is coming from the Shreveport Police Department, and they're basically comparing the latest I can get was from January of this year compared to January of last year. Now, but keep in mind, we're only really almost 4 months into the year. But this time last year, this report, we only had 2 murders in January. Today, in January of this year, we had over 5. We had 5. Forcible rape last year was 17. This year in January it was 18. Last year, person robbery, armed robbery, we had 18 counted last year in January. This year in January is 23. And again, you got to understand that this is 2 months later now, so these numbers have increased because I think as we stand right now, we have let's say 15 murders because, again, we had one last night, we had 2 Sundays, and basically we are at least 15 murders right now on pace to almost triple what we had last year. But let me go on with a couple more of these. What we got, business robberies last year in January, 11. This year in January, 12. Let me go down with burglary. Last year in January we had 160. This year we had 162. And these are the things that the ones that have been reported. So I could go on, but you see the trend. What I'm trying to reiterate is that we are already on pace to shatter every record that every number that we had for last year as far as violent crime or robbery or something like that. So, again, where does personal responsibility step in? We can't blame the police for all this stuff. We can't blame white supremacy. We can't blame all this. At some point, you got to step up as a people and take responsibility.
Right. You know, and again, I agree with you. Here's the thing. The police cannot do everything. And if there's no forensic evidence that would lead them to the killer or the suspect, but someone out there knows who this person is, then you are obligated to call the police and to tell them what you know. But you can't sit and say that they're not doing enough when, in actuality, you're not doing enough because you're hiding people that you don't want to go to jail. But when trouble comes to your door, you would come on a radio show or TV asking mm-hmm. somebody to tell what they know. If you see something, say something. Well, I knew
yeah.
to do that 2 weeks ago, and you knew what happened. You knew who did it, but you did not say anything. So
it didn't affect them. It didn't affect them personally.
Right. And so, but when it affects you, then you have a different look on things. But there's a lady here in Shreveport. I think she's been out there now for maybe over a year on Hearn Avenue, and she has a sign up that says, "Stop the violence." Okay. This is just my opinion. Really be doing something better with her time than holding up that sign that says stop the killing, no violence. Because let me tell you something. That's just like giving a whale a tic-tac. Nothing's going to happen. Because if a person has violence going on inside of his or her mind, then I promise you there's going to be violence on the street. So we got to get to the root of the problem and find out what's going on inside the mind of these people. Because you hold up a sign and tell me, stop the killing, I'm on my way to kill somebody right now. That sign will not stop me from
It's actually going to piss you off. Excuse my language. It's actually going to tick you off a little bit more.
Exactly.
But then, Fargo, let me jump in just for a second. Look where she's holding, where she's at holding that sign up. She's right there on the corner of Lakeshore and Hearn.
Mm-hmm.
Why not be in front of one of these dope houses disrupting their business? You see what I'm saying? A place where, you know, violence usually occurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I try to tell a lot of the politicians because I've been blessed to be in a situation where I can work with a lot of the politicians, and I just keep it real with them. All these rallies that you're having is just grandstanding. Unless you are willing to go out there and talk, because the people who doing all the killing ain't coming to your rallies. The people who doing all the killing, they don't even care about your Stop the Violence rally, because 9 times out of 10, the news report going to read, people in Citizens in Shreveport had a Stop the Violence rally today on Hearn and Lakeshore. Meanwhile, at a Stop the Violence rally, somebody got shot. You see what I'm saying? So until you're willing to go and address those who are doing the killing, till you get the courage up to address these people, it's all grandstanding, man.
We had a Stop the Violence rally a couple of weeks ago. I think it was at A.B. Palmer's Park, I think, and I made a post about it that I thought it was a waste of time because there was police officers there and there were a lot of ministers there along with people from the neighborhood. And my thing is this, you can pray until the river meets the sea. Nothing is going to happen while you out here praying and you're holding hands. It's just a photo op to me for some of them.
Yeah.
I said that to say this, because God, if we go biblical, God has given you a mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that you just know you need to do. You don't have to go in prayer on something. Some things you ought to know to do. So holding a rally, a visual saying stop the violence, that's a waste of time, because just as you just said, Robert, while you're doing that, somebody else is being killed. So we have to get out, and we have to take the neighborhoods back, which simply means that if I've got a drug dealer in my neighborhood, eventually, we know that's a crime. That brings on other crimes. That brings on the wrong people in the neighborhood. And so the neighborhood begins to go down. But because that's your boy or that's a relative, you don't say anything until it hits home. And then you want to do something different about it. If there's violence in the mind, there's going to be violence on the street. So we got to get to the root of the problem because, again, the police department, they cannot do it all. While you and I and Yvette are on air right now, somebody could be getting shot, somebody could be getting killed, but we know something is going on. So we got to get to the mind of people to find out what the hell is going on. That means that we got to sit with psychologists and psychiatrists and doctors to figure out what makes them tick inside of their mind that causes them to go off. These are things that I believe we must do. We need a new approach to the crime in this city.
What say you, Yvette? Because let me say this briefly. First and foremost, you mentioned something about prayer. What we have to realize is that when you look at David, David was one of the best prayers in the Bible. That's where we get a lot of our prayers from in the Psalms. But guess what? Soon as David got up off his knees after his prayer, he had to actually go out there and fight those battles.
Mm-hmm.
So praying and asking Jesus to do something for us that we can do for ourselves ain't helping nobody. You know what I'm saying? It's until we actually take some kind of action, which, in my opinion, again, is take control of your own neighborhood, ain't nothing going to change. You can pray all you want to, but until you take, what they say, faith without works is dead, man. So until you get out there and take control of your neighborhood, don't expect Jesus to come down here and help you in your neighborhood.
Exactly.
I think what we probably going to do at a later date is maybe invite the police chief on to the show to discuss crime in Shreveport. And all of us have a part in this. I don't care if I live in Highland and you live in Queensboro, but the issue happened in Highland. You are a part of the city. So everything should affect all of us, regardless to what side of the Freeport that we live on. But now, you know, you used to be scared to go outdoors. Well, you're scared to live in your house now, you know, because
yeah.
You know, man was laying down in the bed, bullets came through the wall, and
mm-hmm.
it killed him. So, you know, bullets don't have a name on it, but we have to address the issue of crime in Shreveport, Louisiana, different than the way we have been addressing it, because history proves you out there holding hands praying has not changed anything. In fact, it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
So we got to do something different. And I know Yvette has a story that she's about to bring to us, and we want to get to that for the sake of time. And I know we will all come back at a later date and discuss issues within Shreveport, Louisiana, and stuff.
Okay, I got a question for either one of y'all. What's an Amber Alert?
Something that don't really got nothing to do with black children or black folks. Now, it's supposed to be an Amber Alert, supposed to alert you when kids are missing, or not just kids, but when people are missing. They are supposed to broadcast it nationally over your radio and through your social media sites.
Right, and I should have pulled it up earlier, but most of the show stories that we're talking about, you can find them on Injustice Investigations Facebook page. And after the show, we're going to put up what qualifies an Amber Alert to be issued.
Okay. Because what I found, it just was briefly defining. It just says when children go missing, who may or may not be in danger, and you put a BOLO out for the vehicle or, you know, the people that they may or may not be with. It doesn't say a certain race or anything. But what I'm finding is, you know, kids come up missing. Some are runaways, some are not. However, there is a 15-year-old young lady, and this is my personal opinion. She's missing with her teacher. I guess they are romantically, you know, involved. But every time I turn on the news, there's something about this girl. There's a sighting. She's colored her hair, or somebody's witnessed them after dinner or whatever. But it's always in the news. You've known about it since day one.
Mm-hmm.
There have been 22 black and Latina young teenagers missing in D.C. and in Maryland. And I honestly just found out about it Friday. Why is there no Amber Alert on them? Are we not as important? We never hear. I mean, every blue moon you'll see, one of us, you know, flashing across the screen or on the milk carton. But why don't we make the news? I'm not understanding.
Well, you know, for me, it's really quite simple because depending upon who you're asking, black lives do not matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as simple as that. You know, it almost takes an act of Congress to get, you know, an Amber Alert when it's pertaining to a black child. But I didn't know anything about it until here recently when it popped up. I think I saw it on the Reverend Al Sharpton show about the black girls missing in D.C., but nobody's sounding the alarm.
Nobody said anything, but Tom Brady or whatever his name is, that football player man, his jersey came up missing after the game, FBI, a jersey alert, whatever you want to call it, that went out. That was on the news every day. They found that shirt in Mexico. I think it was Mexico, something like that. It don't matter. But they found it. $500,000. That's how much that shirt was worth.
What the what? $500,000.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You can put a price on a shirt, but not on the lives of, I mean, you shouldn't be able to put a price on children's head, but
right.
I would think the lives of all children would just, you know, is just as important as, if not, you know, more important. I don't care about a damn T-shirt. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't.
I agree with you.
That's entertainment. And, you know, all of us are really just finding out about this story, but a lot of it goes back to we as black people, and really a lot of Americans, I'm not just going to put it on black, but we in America have been programmed and brainwashed where we'd rather be entertained than informed. We'd rather have people make us feel good than actually give us information that we really need to know about. The two questions I want to ask first and foremost is, you mean to tell me you can go all the way down to Mexico to find a jersey, but you can't find these kids on that missing plane from Malaysia? So that lets you know where their priorities are, first and foremost. And second question I want to ask is, Where were these teachers at when I was in high school? Where were these female teachers that running around with these kids now? They wasn't there when I was there, because there was a couple of my show would have left, you know, left home and went away with. But what has happened between when I was in high school and now that, you know, you have a rise in these teachers fondling or kidnapping or messing with these kids? But something that a lot of people are not talking about today is we have a big scandal brewing that you don't hear in the mainstream media with this child pedophilia that's going on in America. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a lot of politicians involved, a lot of school teachers, a lot of prominent people are involved with these young kids. But now that situation with the young ladies in D.C., I don't want to seem like I'm a conspiracy theorist all the time, but I would ask the question, if these kids are been missing and are missing, what is behind it? But we know lately it's been coming to the forefront that a lot of black people are coming up missing, and they found dead. But guess what? When they find them, their organs are being found missing. Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to tie this to that, but a lot of what's going on with black children, especially coming up missing and coming up dead, these people are literally taking the organs from black people, which are some of the most high-priced commodities on the black market right now. In Israel, they're paying almost $30,000 for a black kidney. Mm. But you don't hear this. So I'm not saying that this is the situation in D.C., but again, you have to ask the question, if they can find this dude, Jersey, how come they can't find a human being?
Well, one thing that really concerns me is that, especially when it comes to underage girls, is that when there's a lot of them coming up missing, you know, kind of like a domino effect, so to say, the only thing that enters my mind, well, two things, that number one, all of them did not run away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, secondly, they have been kidnapped for human trafficking, which is
human trafficking, yeah, sex slave market.
And stuff. So we're not talking about white girls. We're talking about black girls, and the system don't give a damn about black people. So black girls that are missing, it's like, oh, well, that's not our problem, you know, and that's the way they look at it. But it is sad when you have to call Congress, have to beg Congress, beg your governor, write letters, send emails, mm-hmm. please look into this, please look into this.
Mm-hmm. That brings it back to the story. It says 2 months ago, Metro Police, that's a Washington Metro Police Department, new commander, Chanel Dickerson, she posted mm-hmm. it. The profiles of the missing black and Latina girls, 22 of them, you know, again, are missing. It was addressed to members of Congress, of the Congressional Black Caucus, and they're calling for a federal investigation. On Tuesday, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, FBI, Coney, they divulged reasons to determine if this is an anomaly or indicative of underlying reasons. But at the same time, in D.C., there's an investigation that's still, I don't know if it's ongoing, but it's still on the minds of a lot of the citizens, that a police officer was running a prostitution ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, you know, part of a human trafficking. Now, could that be why some of the, you know, it's not being reported?
You know what? That's an excellent point right there, because if we have some big wheels involved in this here, mm-hmm. then we'll put this not on the back burner, but we're going to get this out of here, and we're not going to deal with it because you're going to ruffle some feathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically you hear nothing, and if you see something, you don't see it. You go look the other way. And so that's very well possible, you know, but the point you brought up about the guy's jacket, you know, being found, do you know how much money had to be spent on that? How much manpower they had to call in to find a damn jacket? I mean, to me, it's just not that damn serious. Okay, if somebody got it, then they got it. Let's try to find the girls in D.C. that's missing. So you put them both on the scale and say, okay, now let's see which outweighs which. You know, ask the parent of the missing girls. Which outweighs which?
Exactly.
Which
rather spend money on a damn jersey, or you want to spend money on children, finding your children?
Exactly.
Well, you said something, though, Yvette, that, I mean, really is one of the main questions we should be asking, because again, with the emerging pedophile scandal, you have a lot of politicians involved. So now these girls are in D.C., the nation's capital, where these politicians are. It's been proven time and time again that these rich influential celebrities, politicians, have been, you know, whoremongers, you know, like when you look at Heidi Fleiss and the D.C. madam. So it's not a far-fetched idea to believe that there are even politicians involved in this as, I guess you could say, part of the sex trade, because these kids are not just coming up missing or running away. If you got 15, just like it happened, remember in Atlanta with the Atlanta child murders?
Mm-hmm.
There was something specifically going on behind that, just like in this situation here. These kids are just coming up missing, and it don't just so happen to be black females. So,
if it was white girls that had come up missing, it would be a national alert.
Yeah, like that little girl, that little 15-year-old girl. And I'm sorry, I don't think she ran. I don't think she was abducted. She went with that man.
Her Twitter account is saying that every beauty she posted on her, I think it was Instagram or something, every beauty needs her beast. Now, this dude didn't just kidnap her. And if she's 15 years old, you know what I'm saying, she was basically able to make a decision to put on her Instagram account, every beauty needs her beast. That lets you know that she went with this dude willingly.
Right. You're looking for a 15-year-old girl, and he's a pedophile, but you're looking for a 15-year-old girl that does not, and I repeat, a 15-year-old girl that does not want to be. And I think Yvette said it to me the other night. The mother knew about this relationship. She knew.
She
knew
about it, but there's a restraining order against her for child abuse, I guess, with the girl. And she said she saw them around Christmas time. She saw them having dinner at a restaurant, and she couldn't say anything to them. But she couldn't have picked up the phone and called the police.
What you said?
Huh?
What you said she saw them?
She saw them during the holidays at a restaurant having dinner, meaning the teacher and the daughter. She couldn't approach them, allegedly, because there's a restraining order against her and the daughter. But you couldn't pick up the phone and call and tell it. You're telling it now. You're telling what you saw now. Why couldn't you say what you saw then? Restraining order or not, you could have picked up the phone and said, my daughter's 50-year-old teacher is having dinner with her in a restaurant together. They're not supposed to be doing that.
Let me read some of this article from Inside Edition about this. It says a girl 15 allegedly kidnapped by a teacher shared Instagram post. Every beauty needs her beast. And it goes on to say that on Instagram, right before Elizabeth Thomas allegedly disappeared with Tad Cummings a week ago, she shared a meme from Beauty and the Beast, which read, every beauty needs her beast to protect her from everything but him. Now, since she had vanished last week, multiple people have commented on the post. I don't know you, but he isn't the one for you. You are 15, and he is an old man who shouldn't have done this. You need to go home and finish school. I'm going to go off, skip out. Another person wrote, he isn't protecting you at all. He is only harming you. They call it a beast for a reason. So I'm not just, you know, going to take this article and run with it, but it's basically, you know, pointing to the fact, again, she ran away with this dude,
mm-hmm.
literally, which is totally different from what's going on in D.C. with the little black girls who are literally coming up missing.
So why are they wasting money and time, taxpayers' money probably, to find this little girl? I mean, I'm not saying that, I'm not justifying what he's done because, you know, he knows better. But who's to say you find this girl, you bring her home, and she doesn't go do it again?
Exactly.
These girls in D.C., from what I gather, we don't know whether they had a choice or not. Not 22 girls missing. I promise you all of them didn't make that choice to disappear. But this little girl here with her teacher, and it's known fact that they were, you know, romantically linked. Come on now.
And so we know the majority of, you said 22?
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of the 22 girls did not run away. They have been kidnapped.
Yeah.
And yet it's probably going to be some you know, high-profile people behind it.
Yeah.
Let's look at a situation from Charlotte, North Carolina. I think this incident happened probably about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Robert, I think you have it ready to pull up for.
Yeah, let me pull this story up. This is one of them stories where we might take a little flack. I might take a little flack from black people because of some of my views. But again, it goes back to taking personal responsibility. Hold on, I got to pull it up.
They're probably going to be angry with me, but I could care less. We can't ask for justice on one end and, on the other end. You know, if it's going to be fair, then we have to be fair. You ready?
Yeah, let me read just a little bit of this story. Okay. This here story is coming off of Vibe, which, of course, we know is a black publication, so I'm just be real. Most likely, it's going to be very biased. I really hadn't had time to read it. But it says, it's Vibe magazine. North Carolina store owner caught choking black customer after accusing her of stealing. An Asian-owned beauty supply in North Carolina is the subject of boycott after store's owner was caught on tape viciously attacking a black woman accused of shoplifting. The altercation occurred last Thursday, which was March 9th, of course, inside Mishua, whatever them Asians chose to name their store, Mishua Beauty Supply. In the video shared on Facebook, Sung Ho Lin can be seen physically assaulting an unidentified woman who he claims stole a $3.99 pack of false eyelashes. The woman repeatedly denied stealing anything from the store. "You can check my bag," she said at one point in the video. However, Lean is relentless. He goes on to kick and punch a woman before knocking her to the ground and putting her in a chokehold. Lean's wife assists in the assault. Community leaders and residents in Charlotte gathered for a protest at the store Sunday, March 12th. "You cannot take police matters in your own hand. You can't act like the police," said civil rights activist John C. Barrett. Whatever the case may be, we know he cannot keep someone in a chokehold, stealing or not. Okay, Lean is admitting wrongdoing and offered an apology to the woman in person. "This is all my fault," he said. "I have to take the whole video and give it to the police." Go ahead.
Yeah, you can stop there, Robert. Look, here's the thing. I saw the video, and I sent it to a few friends of mine to look at. Okay, the law states that if you're in my place of business, I can detain you. I can lock the door so you can't get out. But am I to touch you? No. Did he go overboard? Yes, I believe he went overboard. But here's the thing. We have to deal with the issue. Hypothetically, let's say she was trying to steal. Now, when are we going to address our wrongdoing in certain issues? You're protesting outside of the man's store because he choked a black woman. Okay, first of all, if you want to protest anything, you should have been protesting him bringing his business in your neighborhood.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
9 times out of 10, this wasn't their first run-in. He's probably caught her stealing before or probably thought she was stealing, and she came in and she was trying it again, and she realized that he saw, so she probably put it back, you know, and maybe she wasn't stealing at all. Okay, he went overboard. But here's the thing. We got to start teaching our black people to stop breaking the damn law. That's just the bottom line. It's 99 cents, okay, whatever it costs. If she was trying to steal, then she was 100% wrong. I think, personally, protesting his business is just ridiculous. Now, if you want to protest, you shouldn't have let him come into the neighborhood. But here's what's going to happen. You shut him down. Okay, he'll get a store 2 blocks down, change the name, and you'll never know it's him. And you go right back in there buying their merchandise. So we got to deal with the issue of black people committing crimes. That's just the bottom line. He was wrong for the way he handled the situation, but as he also said, we did not see what happened before.
We did not see that whole video, and you know what we seen was probably just enough to incite this type of response. So until we see the whole video, until we know the whole story. Because like you said a good point, Alfonso, when you mentioned, I'm gonna just be real and go from a psychological point of view. Evidently, this dude had to have some kind of frustration inside of him at this woman or previous women who were stealing stuff for him to overreact the way that he did, because you could tell by the way he choked her. He had some kind of passion in what he did. Now, maybe again, maybe she was one of those people who's been stealing from the man's store, and this time he decided to watch her. He thought he saw her put something in. Whatever. He could have handled this a whole lot different. He didn't have to choke the woman. He could have, like you say, just barred the door, called the police, and then they worked it out from there. So he was wrong on that behalf. But again, what happened before we seen the part where she was getting choked? You notice they don't show that in the mainstream media. Now, let me go back to something else that's relevant to this situation, and we're going to talk about Michael Brown in Ferguson. So you want me to get out of here and protest for a dude who, first of all, they alleged that he was involved in an armed robbery in the store. All right. So you want me to get out here and protest somebody who just committed an armed robbery, if that was the case? Now they coming back with another video saying that it wasn't an armed robbery, it was a drug deal, which is just as worse as an armed robbery. But they're trying to play it off as if it's not really a big deal, because it wasn't an armed robbery, it was a drug deal gone bad. But the real reason why Michael Brown died that day was because, simply, no matter what state, I know in Louisiana and pretty much every state across the country, that cities have laws that if there are sidewalks present, you are not to walk in the middle of the street. That's jaywalking. That dude pulled by and told Michael Brown, no matter how he told him, get the bleep off the street and get on the sidewalk. Michael Brown basically responded to him, bleep you, I'm almost where I'm going. Something as simple as getting out the middle of the street on the sidewalk would have saved that dude's life. So now you have somebody who basically told the police, F yourself, I'm going to stay in the middle of the street, and now he's dead, and you want me to get out there and burn down my own neighborhood in response.
Probably.
So at what point do we as black people wake up and realize, and if we stop committing so many of these crimes that we commit in our neighborhood, we wouldn't have so much interaction with the police. You see what I'm saying? And going back to the thing, they should have been protesting before the dude came into their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. He got a store. He way from Vietnam or wherever he at, but he's in your neighborhood taking $10,000 to $15,000 a week out your neighborhood, sending it back overseas. The time to protest was before he came there.
Exactly. Yvette, what's your take on that?
I agree. I just, I get the protesting. I don't agree with it, but you need to find out the whole story, because you out there protesting for something, like you said, Robert, that probably could have been prevented. Now, you out here protesting, police coming, you're going to get your tail whooped, sent to jail, whatever it is. You know, y'all burning down buildings, whatever it is they do unnecessarily for that.
Yeah. And what a lot of these protesters don't realize is that they can elevate your crimes in during the protest to federal offenses. Like in Baltimore, a lot of these cats that were going around thinking that they were just protesting and they was releasing anger or whatever are still sitting in jail because these people put $500,000 bonds on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think a lot of times we just look for the reason to protest. We look for the reason to vandalize a building, because that's an opportunity for us to get some free stuff. So we just have to keep it real, you know. Black people have to learn to be emotionally intelligent, especially when dealing with issues such as this thing with Michael Brown. Yeah, I'm sure it would have been a totally, totally different outlook, especially with Michael Brown having just did a damn drug deal. Now, Darren Wilson didn't know anything about that.
Didn't know nothing about it.
You know, but so you would think if you know you're selling drugs and you may have something on you and you may not, but if you know you're not clean, the cop pulls up, man, just get on the street. It's just as simple as that, you know. And so when
and
we go back.
Water?
Hmm?
Why would you
go ahead.
The water? Why would you do that? You already know you're in trouble or you're on probation or whatever. Why would you do that?
You would have to be super stupid, because you just can't win. I was walking 5 or 6 years ago to work down the street there. It had been raining, and so I was in the street walking. Well, a Shreveport police officer, white guy, pulled up and said, "Get your MF off the street and get on the sidewalk." Pissed me off, but I just got on the sidewalk. It's as simple as that. You know, we have to know how to react with certain issues and stuff, especially when you know who you're dealing with, or you don't know who you're dealing with. Let me put it that way, you know. But when you look at certain people that come and set up businesses inside the black community, and I know I'm a little off the subject, but I want to make this point. The Iranians, whoever they are, they have just saturated the black neighborhood. They got the laundromat for you. They got the convenience stores. They got the furniture stores. They got the fake hair stores with all the fake clothes and the fake jewelry. And in every store that they have in the black neighborhood, there's a sign up in every one of them that reads the same, no refund on merchandise. Why do they say that? Because they know the shit they selling is bullshit.
Yeah.
And so they don't want it back.
Yeah, but let me go a little bit deeper. Let me go a little bit deeper, and this is the reality of what's going on, and I'm hoping that your listeners will understand what I'm about to say. You have to realize that you're dealing with a government that's allowing these parasites to come into your neighborhood, and we are the sacrifice because they have trade agreements with the countries that they are coming from. Notice this. The people that's coming from the oil-producing countries own all the gas stations and stuff like that in your neighborhood. The people who produce all the hair, the fake hair, and all these other products in their country, these are the ones that's coming into your neighborhood, opening up the nail shops, opening up the shops where they sell you the hair. So you have to realize that this is something way bigger than the average black person even wants to begin to grasp hold to. Again, the people that's owning the gas stations in your neighborhood come from the countries that produce all the oil. The people who own the hair stores are coming from the country who make the hair. So they're taking money out your neighborhood. Some of these neighborhoods, like just we're going to use the Cooper Road. Cooper Road got four stores on there. All of them are owned by foreign people. And these stores, I can guarantee you, taking at least just say on average $15,000 a week out of your neighborhood, sending it back to where they come from. This is part of the trade agreements that your government has with these governments from these people. This is why they allow them to come here, because of these trade agreements. So you got to understand, going back to what we said about the missing girls or whatever, black lives don't matter, you know, to a certain population. Of the a certain percent of the population of America, and really we started to realize that, see that really black lives don't matter to a lot of black people, because as long as you have this good job and you can sit in your glass house, you're not caring what's going on in the hood. You're not worried about what's going on the Cooper Road if you're living out on Ellaby Road, because you done made it. You know what I'm saying?
So when you don't have any emotions tied to it, we know what happens then and stuff, but we as black people can do the same thing that the Iranians or other race do. They go find a building, the cheapest building they can find. Throw a little paint on it, put a little sign up, rent maybe $1,200, $1,500 a month. They go buy the cheapest material they can find, and they set up shop. And you go and you give them your hard-earned dollars for bullshit. But
yeah.
Now, if you ever want to get ahead, it's time for you to do the exact same thing, because as long as we keep letting them in, they're going to continue to come in. They are saturating the black neighborhood as a mini Walmart. They don't want you to have to come out the black neighborhood for anything. I mean, you know, Sam and Muhammad and all of them, they're in the black neighborhood, and they're setting it up on every corner that you do not have to leave out of the neighborhood, because they want you to shop with them, but they do not give a damn with you. And you know what I hate when I try not to go in there, but if I'm out somewhere and that's the closest store, I may go in there and get a soda. I hate when they call me my friend. How do you have friends? I don't even know you.
Yeah.
I'm not your friend. And a lot of times, what they charge one person for something, they'll charge another person a totally different price. So you're going in, you're giving your hard-earned money to people who do not give a damn about you. And most of the blacks that they employ in these stores, let's just be real, are either females mm-hmm. who's not trying to go anywhere in life, but a lot of them, they can help you sign merchandise, but they cannot touch that register. They
yeah.
cannot touch that register. They have the black women in there to relate to our women because they women cannot relate to our women.
I always say this. Black women got to realize we have a lot of black women who are successful at owning their beauty shops. But just imagine, let's look at the economics of this. The Asian woman who would not even piss on you to put you out if you was on fire is selling you the hair at $300. They got some of the hair now costing $300. So now you go out and buy the hair for $300 from a store that really there's no competition, you know what I'm saying, as far as black people competing with them selling the hair. Now the black beauticians got to fight with each other to make that $100 just to put the hair in your head. Who's winning that economically? They are. You see what I'm saying? So we're becoming the sacrifice for all these parasites who are literally coming with no other purpose but to drain your community dry. You know what I'm saying? Their kids really don't go to the same school that your kids go to. Their kids don't play with your kids at the same playground. But their kids is in that same store, you know, looking down upon your kids when your kids come in there a quarter short on a pack of Now Laters or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we're dealing with, again, something that's a lot bigger than what we as black people want to grasp hold to. Something else, I'm going to say this real quick and be brief. It's all about economics. We as black people are the biggest consumers in America. We spend over $2 trillion a year outside our own community.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King, as long as he was preaching that message of nonviolence, them folks didn't care. Because if he'd ever decided to get violent, they could have dealt with him. Malcolm X was preaching violence. They didn't care because if it actually got to a violent point of violence, they would have dealt with him. But it was until Malcolm and Martin started preaching the value of economics. Take that $1 trillion that you spend a year and spend it amongst yourself, build your own community up. That's when them folks killed them, man. You see what I'm saying? It's all about your money.
Exactly. Yvette, you want to comment on that or something else you have?
Nope, I'm just listening. I totally agree. I'm just listening.
Before we go off air, because we've been pressed for time, going back to the shooting, the killings in Shreveport, Louisiana, it must come to an end. It must stop, you know, but it's not going to stop until we realize that, again, violence in the mind will be violence on the street. So we've got to start dealing with the issues inside of people's mind. And when you know somebody has killed somebody or has shot somebody, you may not give a damn about that person that has been wounded, but everybody is somebody's child. I don't care if it's a thug. I don't care if you say she's fast and hot or whatever. Everybody belongs to somebody. And if you don't want it to happen to you, why don't you speak out? Tell what you know. And when you see people walking around with guns, why do you need a gun, brother? Why? You're not a police officer. Why are you walking around with a gun? Because when you have a gun, it's kind of like alcohol. People get that liquid courage, right?
Yeah.
So when we have a gun, then we're ready for any and everything. Then if you cross me wrong, then I'll pull it out and boom, boom, boom. Black people have an I don't give a F attitude, and that's something we got to get away from. But once the incident has happened and you're in a jail cell looking super stupid, then you care. But guess what? It's too late to care. There was a mother on TV last night. I can't think of her son's name, but he was killed 1 year ago. What'd you say, that?
The lady that son was killed a year ago.
Exactly. You saw the story?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was sad because she was on there. They hadn't arrested anybody yet. So we all know one thing, Yvette. Somebody knows something.
Yeah, that's what she said. Somebody knows something. But what did she say? It's going to be your son next time.
Exactly.
It's going to be,
Well, to reiterate something I said earlier, to you control and patrol your own neighborhood, nothing's going to change because what black people are failing to realize, and this is coming from somebody who was facing 120 years not too long ago because of some illegal activities idea. I accept my responsibility. But that no snitching policy is nothing more than a way for criminals to continue their criminal activity in your neighborhood without the fear of repercussions. And we as black people are some of the most brainwashed people about the no snitching, because first thing these brothers going to say, man, I keep it real. I ain't no snitch. But like you say, Alfonso, as soon as it's their cousin, as soon as it's their son, their nephew, or their grandson, they want you to tell on everybody you know in alphabetical order. But they sit around and allow the killer to continue to operate with impunity in their own neighborhood. Now they're mad at the police.
And again, the police, they can only do so much. They can only do so much. And a lot of times when we hear shootings and killings, believe it or not, most of the victims knew the person that shot them, whether they admit it or not.
Mm-hmm.
They knew them. And reasons they don't say it, most of the times, because they have a thing in their mind to where I'm going to get him. I'm going to take care of this myself. You know, so if you know something, people, it is time to speak out. It is time to police the neighborhood and drop the signs. Drop the no violence sign and all that. Because let me tell you something again, that's like giving the wheel a tic-tac. Nothing's going to happen. We got to speak up. We got to help the police the neighborhood and
mm-hmm.
get rid of the bad guys. And then you start getting good people in. But the more you invite bad people in, the worse your neighborhood becomes.
Mm-hmm. You said something that was so profound the other day on Facebook, Alfonso, when you said, why are we sitting around here telling the dead to rest in peace? Finish that saying for me.
Yeah, instead of us telling the dead to rest in peace, we should be telling the living to L-I-P, live. There's nothing you can do about the dead.
There's nothing you can do about the dead but bury them.
That's it. Look. Robert, I love you, brother. I'm glad you came back on the show today. It was a great show. You're very informative, like always. We're about 2 minutes before we have to get out of here. I want you to give the listeners the name of your radio show.
The Real News Behind the News, and we are also on Blog Talk Radio. We have a page also by the same name, The Real News Behind the News, on Facebook. We're trying to get up Instagram, Twitter, and also trying to get the website up. But, again, I thank the Creator for blessing me with people like you in my life who inspired The Real News Behind the News. And I know we got less than 2 minutes. There's something I want to say to your listeners, especially all your Christian listeners who believe in prayer. Pray for the people in Yemen, because what your government here in the United States is doing over in Yemen is probably one of the greatest genocides in the history of mankind, and you're not hearing about it in the mainstream media.
And quickly, Yvette, working on something new that we've never done. We talked about it, but she's working on it. I'm working on it too. We're going to be doing shows on relationships, so keep watching Facebook, and soon we'll post up date for our first show on relationships. Yvette, I'm going to give you the opportunity to close us out. Again, I thank both of you, as always, for being on the show, and for all of you who are listening. You can find these stories we spoke about on our Facebook page, Injustice Investigations. I'm Al Scott. Remember, I'm not always right. You are not always wrong. Yvette.
Thanks for listening. I'm Yvette. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Fonzo.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Y'all have a good day. And again, thanks for tuning in to Injustice Investigations.
Bye.
Y'all be blessed.